This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
With Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome Benjamin Taliaferro back from traveling to help us understand what to look forward to or not. Pending the IAEA meeting September 9th in Vienna to discuss the suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran, which over these last months of open conflict between Iran and Israel is said to have accelerated. There are other metaphors, but that'll do. Benjamin, welcome back from your travels, and you have a new document up at FDD I look to explicate in length. It's entitled Deterring Iran's Dash to the Bomb. You and your colleagues, Mr. Bowman and Mr. Khitri, are signatories. What do we look for on the 9th from the IAEA meeting, and what do we get alarmed about when we hear it? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, and great to be back with you both. It's amazing the things that can come out when one is still on the beach. But I digress. Listen, there's going to be a major IAEA meeting. It's one of those quarterly Board of Governors meetings, but I say major because it follows on from the June 2024 meeting, which was the first time in 18 months that the IAEA voted basically to engage in diplomatic censure. They passed a resolution of censure against Iran for continuing non-compliance issues. Again, based on more recent Wall Street Journal reporting from late August, it looks like the U.S. and its European partners are basically not going to be doing the same thing they did last time. So they're not going to do another censure resolution. Let's hope that that report ends up being disproven. But this is a bad thing if one is in the business of deterring Tehran's dash to the bomb or deterring the capability to even dash to the bomb. Because if one is not even able to show commensurate political will to use political pressure to engage in deterrence or to bolster one's deterrence or to alter Tehran's risk-reward ratio, which has already been changing significantly in 2024, given all that's been happening in the region, then it undermines your deterrence to signal that you have a more credible military threat on file or even the ability to snap back and restore economic sanctions. If Iran continues to escalate its nuclear program in this direction. So I am quite worried that doing nothing or, you know, washing one's hands of it or sweeping this under the rug or thinking the June resolution is sufficient will actually inadvertently end up empowering the Islamic Republic to drag out its case at the IAEA. And then ultimately, likely because the current administration in Washington is seeking to not escalate things with Tehran, particularly in advance of November, is going to feed this larger cycle of escalation, meaning the more the Americans look to de-escalate, the more the Islamic Republic looks to escalate.
Now, let me ask you, I want to ask you a question before I ask my question. Do you expect that the IAEA meeting that the Europeans would again press for sanctions and the U.S. again will act to deter them, even though they passed the resolution?
You know, last go rounds, it was, I think, a lot of the fact that the Europeans had publicly moved to the right of the Americans on the Iran nuclear file that may have gotten the Americans to catch up. And then there was a united front. Based on Wall Street Journal reporting from August, it looks like both sides appear united in not seeking to do a follow-on resolution. Again, I hope that is wrong, but that is the most recent reporting. This is the most recent information that we have. Again, let's hope that it's wrong. Those of us who believe in diplomatic pressure would like to see those who exercise the bulk of American and European diplomacy to really mean it, to really be able to use all of the legal and political tools at our disposal. But in my view, and for the sake of the readers, we have to know that. I think it was August 29 or August 30, the Wall Street Journal had reported this.
So let me ask you about my real question about the Imad missile and the reports about the accuracy, reliability of their advanced missile system. Do you assess that their capabilities How do you assess the current capabilities of the Iran missile program, and what are the implications for Israel's security and regional stability?
You know, it's an excellent question, Malcolm. And, you know, whenever you look at these things, we have to always know that we're operating with imperfect information. I spent a good chunk of my adult life looking at the, you could call it the flying tubes of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And you don't want to do too much deterrence work for them to say that all these systems work. But one reason in my 2023 monograph called Arsenal, which details every single weapon Iran has developed, tested, or transferred, that is a surface-to-surface missile with a ballistic trajectory, which includes the Emad and the Qadr, two liquid propellant medium-range ballistic missiles that Iran had fired at Israel on April 13-14. And one reason I never included what we call the circular error probable, which is what the regime reported to be much more accurate than it actually turned out to be. And the circular error probable is fancy technical speak for how accurate a projectile is. Basically, they'll give you a range anywhere from 5 meters to 1 kilometer. The wider the range, the more likely that 50% of the chance you fire this projectile, it'll fall within a wider diameter. You want for a more accurate or more precise projectile, a narrower or smaller diameter. So it turns out, based on the recent study that the AP quoted, these two systems, the Emad and the Qadr, are nowhere as accurate as the regime has made it out to be. I actually never really believed that Iran's medium-range liquid propellant missiles are actually accurate battlefield systems. I doubt the fact that the maneuvering warhead on the Emad actually functions the way the regime says it, but this stuff, if you watch the missile program, is known. What we really fear is the potential two-stage solid propellant medium-range ballistic missile, as well as the much larger, heavier, and bigger warhead on the Khorramshahr. These two projectiles that the regime did fire are variants of Iran's oldest nuclear-capable medium-range ballistic missile. So no time at all, if you're looking at the range, the full spectrum of Iran's missiles, the full spectrum of their arsenal, no time at all to take a victory lap, no time at all to rest on your laurels, hoping for or Iranian technical performance when it comes to every single missile.
The Ayatollah's threat, Benham, when the U.S. Navy showed up, the threat sort of didn't come to anything. There's no action on that threat. Maybe it was a Hezbollah attack that was thwarted by the IAF, maybe not. Was it the Navy that discouraged the Ayatollah or some other consideration in the regime?
This is, in my view, with respect, more of a cocktail. And again, this follows from my last comment about no premature victory laps here. It would be a mistake to think, unfortunately, that it was our increased military posture or Israel's military successes that deterred the regime. Because most unfortunately, what the regime has been banking on, obviously they know they're outgunned against the Israelis, outgunned against the Americans. But what the regime has been banking on is always the prospect of threatening a wider war to foster actually greater American intervention. And greater American intervention, because America's goal in the region is fundamentally contradictory right now. It's de-escalation on one hand and deterrence on the other. But I think, unfortunately, the regime knows enough about the Biden administration and has learned enough about this administration, knowing that when push comes to shove, the administration will always preference de-escalation over deterrence. And with that, you saw, ever since Iran threatened to respond to the killing of Ismail Haniyeh, the Americans doubled down with political pressure on Bibi, even, you know, talking to different elements of his cabinet, trying to foist that ceasefire agreement first via Qatar, then via the Egyptians, and then much more recently, even the Biden commentary about Bibi could be doing a lot more for the ceasefire, even on the back end of the grotesque news about the killed six hostages, including the dual national hostages that are U.S. citizens. Iran is counting on American restraint and on American domestic politics for America to enter the region and apply the handcuffs to the Israelis rather than to the Iranians. And in my view, that is the preponderant factor in the cocktail that explains why the regime has not gone forward with revenge. Ironically, they're counting on America carrying it out for them.
Malcolm?
Recent reports talk about a surge in executions by the regime of its opponents in Iran. What does this say about their internal situation and the fears of internal dissent? Could this have any implication for what you just talked about, their domestic and foreign policies?
It certainly should for those who are watching this situation. And I'm glad you mentioned what's going on the domestic front, because the regime may be trying to put lipstick on a pig here with the new Iranian president, Mr. Pezeshkian, as well as his new foreign minister, who was the deputy foreign minister the last time Rouhani was at the helm. And this guy's name is Araghchi, and he's already elicited warm greetings from many of America's European partners, who up until recently were getting quite good on the Iran threat. They were developing more political pressure at the IEA. They were putting more drone sanctions, putting more missile sanctions, and putting more human rights sanctions on Tehran. The fact that executions even increased as this new president entered office tells you all you need to know, that the changes that you see at the top in Tehran are at best stylistic, they're not at all substantive, and that the biggest enemy of the Islamic Republic of Iran and that which the regime fears most in Tehran is domestic, is its own people. And this has to be internalized for any Iran policy to succeed.
And the cyberspace activity by Iran, did they want us to know that? We have 30 seconds, Benham. Did they, was that a boost of their ego that the New York Times reported on their game playing?
I mean, it certainly is something that they benefit from in the PR and propaganda space, but I'm more worried about what it says about them. That the Islamic Republic of Iran is again looking to intervene in American elections, is again looking to weaponize misinformation and disinformation, is again looking to take advantage of our free and open media space. This is a nefarious actor that is beginning to mirror a lot of the traits that you see in cyberspace by America's other greater, more capable near-peer competitors like Russia and China. So unfortunately, I fear this trend will continue.
Benham Bentalibu, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.